Welcome to Lockdown Trivia, the Unlock Your Brain podcast quiz show. My name is Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host as we choose four expert categories of our players and explore them together as we try to unlock this trivia game one key at a time. This week's episode is our first two-player game featuring Joe and Natalie Wirtz. Their expert categories are 90s country music, Southern cooking, Theodore Roosevelt, and Super Bowl winners. Sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia following the link in the description of each and every episode. You can play by yourself or bring a friend for a competitive or cooperative game. Now let's get started. You can start anywhere you want. The question is, whose category is going to get to go first?
What do you think?
I've played this before. I'm going to say ladies first. If she wants to go with one of mine or one of her own.
Okay, I'm going to start with the Southern cooking.
Oh, I'm excited. In this category, actually, guys, in every category, I didn't have to get cheeky with your categories. I properly wrote questions for every category. No nonsense. Here is your unlocked Southern cooking question.
Gosh.
They'll fry about anything in the South, but frying the unripe and differently colored version of what fruit is a staple?
Plantain.
No, fried green tomatoes.
Oh, yes, fried green tomatoes.
Fried green tomatoes.
Yes.
That is correct, yes. Green tomatoes.
I got you.
Listen, I stand by, a tomato is not a fruit, but that's a different topic.
It identifies as a fruit, Natalie.
Yes, it does. And okay. I appreciate that, but to me, it's not.
Well, you've got one key now, and you can open up any of those one key questions, or you can do anything you want with Unlocked. Where would you like to go next? Joe, your expertise and experience in this game may help out a lot. We've got one key. Where to next?
I like sticking with the category because I think we worked that out pretty good. You want to stick with Southern cooking?
Sure.
All right, we'll do the one key Southern cooking.
Here's your question. Be it by way of buckles, slumps, pandowdies, crisps, or cobblers, what stone fruit is a staple of Southern desserts, especially in Georgia?
Peach?
Yeah, it's peach.
Yeah, definitely.
Southern peach.
That's a peach. That's correct. It's a one-key question in pub trivia. You don't have to think too hard. And you now have two keys in your pocket, guys.
Do you want to stick with Southern? You can choose. Mm-hmm. You stick with Southern cooking, or we can get, if you go for the unlock questions, you can just rack up some keys. So you can get like another key for each one of those.
Now, let's do that. Let's go down a category. Let's do the 90s country music.
Your unlocked 90s country music question is this. Originally written for Patsy Cline in the 1960s, what song was unsuccessfully covered a number of times before it finally became a hit in 1996, sung by a 13-year-old?
Blue.
Blue is correct. All right, you guys have three keys.
Yeah, so let's go to the second 90s, or the one key question for 90s country.
All right, one key 90s country question is this. Neil McCoy doesn't care about big blue eyes or a pretty face. What really turns him on is what dance in his 1997 hit?
The Shake. What really turns me on is the Shake.
Neil McCoy, is that what he said?
Yes, he's the guy that also sings Wink.
I just
saw his name.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know the song. I don't know the words, but I know the song.
I'm going to go with Shake.
Yeah, it's The Shake. That is correct.
Yay! Give me Shake. Yay! Okay.
All right. With two unlocked questions and two one-key questions, you now have a total of four keys, so you can open up any question on the board. Where would you like to go to next?
I think we stay with
either one of those.
Okay,
let's go back up to two-key, but with Southern.
Back to Southern cooking for two-key, or as I should say, Southern cooking for two keys. Originating in 1929 during a streetcar strike by the Martin brothers, what apostrophal Louisiana sandwich typically includes hot fried seafood?
Oh boy.
Yeah, apostrophal is not a word commonly used, but it is a word meaning relating to an apostrophe. Po' boy is correct. I did look up whether that was a word or not. My brain says that has to be a word, and it turns out technically yes, nobody says it though.
No.
Didn't sound like a word.
Sounds like something I would make up and she would make fun of me.
Sandwich, New Orleans, and I was pretty much Irish.
Yeah. Also, it's one of those words that like trivia people use, like titular. Nobody says titular except trivia hosts.
No.
Yeah. perpetual. Right.
I hate that word.
You have plenty of keys to do whatever you want. Where to next?
You want to alternate back and forth, or you want to
Three key for Southern cooking. Right.
Here is your next question. What species in the taxonomic family Siluridae are a staple of fried Southern food and are named for their prominent tactile organs on their face?
Catfish.
They're named for their prominent catfish.
Catfish is correct. Yes.
Yes, it's always my favorite.
All right, you guys are killing it so far.
Let's finish out Southern cooking.
Let's see what the hypothetically hardest question in the category has for you.
You're gonna ace it, and I'm gonna miss like four
because I'm not gonna be able to help you.
With a name that comes from a Narragansett word meaning broken corn kernels, what Southern dish gained popularity during the Great Depression due to its inexpensive ingredients?
Well, first I went to grits, but grits is not cheap ingredient. I mean, it's just...
It is. Stone ground grits. It's corn.
Yeah, but he said ingredients, like there's more than one thing in it. And really, grits are just like butter and milk. Like you would, I mean, I guess
you add that to it, but I mean...
That wouldn't be broken corn kernels, I don't think. I think grits are ground, so they're broken corn kernels. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be grits.
Yeah, because I don't know what, and it was named for this whatever. Yeah. Grits doesn't really mean anything, especially in terms of corn.
I'm saying grits.
Yeah, I'll say grits. Yeah, sure.
Unfortunately, we have our first miss of the game, guys. That word that might sound a little weird to English speakers unless you are a fan of Looney Tunes is succotash. Succotash.
Suffering succotash.
Yes, there you go. That is a reaction both to missing a question and the correct answer. So unfortunately, I do have to take all of your keys away. You were cooking up to that point, no pun intended.
Yeah, we were.
But you have plenty of places to play. You got two unlocked questions left and plenty of bonus questions. So where would you like to go to get back into your game?
You go ahead and choose one, babe.
Okay. We're going to do... Let's do Super Bowl winners, unlock it.
All right. Here's your unlocked Super Bowl winners question. The 1972 Dolphins let a sigh of relief out when the New York Giants spoiled the New England Patriots' perfect season, led by quarterback Eli Manning and what head coach?
Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin is correct. Thank you, Coach Coughlin.
Yes.
First saving
19-1.
You guys have a key again.
Okay.
Thanks to your Super Bowl question. So where would you like to go next?
Let's keep it going. Just give me Super Bowl one key.
All right. Your one key Super Bowl winners question is this. What quarterback who was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2021 is the only quarterback to make it to a Super Bowl with four different head coaches, winning two of them?
2021.
Went to a Super Bowl with four different head coaches and won two of them. That is Peyton Manning.
The Colts.
He went
the Broncos
twice with the Colts, two different coaches. Broncos twice, two different coaches.
And he won with each team.
Okay, two and two. Manning. Not many Super Bowl quarterbacks have that kind of record. It's got to be Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he is the only quarterback ever to make it to the Super Bowl under four different head coaches. That is correct. Peyton Manning.
Nice.
And
good
we get a Manning brother duo in our first two questions.
Yeah. No kidding.
Well, they're kind of all over the
two keys, and now you have some choices to make because you can go back to 90s country, or you could continue with Super Bowl winners, or you could get chaotic and do other things. What do you want
to
do?
No, let's go to 90s.
This is a good strategy. We'll keep feeding it.
Yeah, 90s country. Yeah. I'm so mad at myself for that one. I need to redeem.
Let's do it. 90s country.
Back to that for two keys. Here is your question. The call and response of Alabama's Dixieland Delight mentions beating three different rival schools of the Crimson Tide. Name two of them.
Okay. So we get a two out of three. Auburn Tigers has got to be one.
Auburn is definitely. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the song after.
And for another change in season two, I'm not going to let you answer three and hope two are right. You will have to confirm two.
Yes.
If they're right or not.
You got to get them. That makes sense. No, I get that. I mean, Tennessee has been, they're a big dog in SEC history.
Like LSU or...
LSU is more new to the party, I think.
Okay.
I think.
I
so
feel
it's
like
Florida.
I don't have a better
Florida
guess.
Was
so
good, though,
yeah,
too.
We can go with Tennessee if you think. There's no chance that I'm going
to. It's one of those. It's got to be Tennessee, Florida, or Georgia is the other one, is my thought.
I think Tennessee makes more sense. But
they weren't a big deal back then.
Tennessee's closer.
All right, we'll say Auburn and Tennessee.
The call and response is beat Auburn and LSU and Tennessee too. You got it correct.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm sorry that I missed the LSU.
That's okay.
Yes, Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee are the ops for the Crimson Tide.
Alabama music like front and back, and I'm having the hardest time like pulling that from. I don't know that.
Let it be known that Benjamin McGee is somewhere listening to this, screaming all the call and responses. You guys have three keys again. Where to next?
What do you want to do? You want to go stick with, or keep going?
No, I think we stick with country music.
Okay.
Finish that.
Your '90s three key country music question is: Santa Claus is coming in a boogie woogie choo choo train. Was a 1995 Christmas album rewrite of the only hit by what band?
The one hit wonder. So you want the original artist that did that?
Oh boy. Well, that's just rude, Dalton.
Boogie woogie.
I know the current or the newer song, but
yeah.
I could not tell you one hit wonder country band. I mean, I could.
Christmas album rewrite of the only hit of what band? So it's the same band. It's not a cover.
Oh, I keep going back to Ricochet.
Okay. You're on your own on this one. Sorry, babe.
I know the song.
I do recognize it, but there's no way I'm going to know this.
I'm going to go with Ricochet.
Yeah, you saw my face change. Unfortunately, Ricochet is not correct. Daddy's Money is another hit of Ricochet's. It can't be them. This is The Tractors.
Oh, gross.
And the original was
one hit.
Baby Likes to Rock It Like a Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train was the original.
One of the worst songs ever. I'm sorry.
Not seeing it.
Okay, now I lost all of our keys.
No, but we can start back down here with Roosevelt and work our way back up.
We have plenty of space to work, guys. No keys. I've taken them. Where to next?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, see, if she doesn't get an A+, then she's just dead.
No, I will tell you, 9 out of 11 so far is a very good score in Lockdown Trivia. You are cooking.
Yeah.
Where to next?
Let's just get the rest of them green. Super Bowl. We'll be fine.
Super Bowl?
No, we don't have any keys, so we got to go to Unlocked Roosevelt.
Right, that's right.
Unlocked Roosevelt.
Your Unlocked Teddy question is this.
Okay.
Theodore Roosevelt became the youngest to assume the office of the president ever. Mm-hmm. When what predecessor of his was assassinated?
William McKinley.
Joe is all over that. That is correct.
Yes.
A fair unlocked question, and you have one key again. Where to?
Stick it out. Let's go one key Roosevelt.
Teddy for one. Approximately 25 million Americans have what respiratory disease that afflicted Teddy Roosevelt as a child?
Asthma.
Okay, we're spending no time in this category. And you have two keys.
Half time.
I'm sorry. I should be explaining myself a little bit better.
We'll to give see you if some... they, it's kind of funny, and we'll see if they get harder. So we'll see.
Yeah, what happens. Okay. I mean, you know,
I was just sitting here thinking, we're so dumb. Why did we start with my questions? They're obviously easier.
I'm kind of obsessed with Teddy. So
yes, that's true.
And he didn't have a very big life. I mean, it was very, yeah. So anyway,
next.
Do we go back? Oh, yeah, huge life in a short period of time.
Okay.
Super Bowl or stick with Roosevelt? What do you think?
I don't know. You pick. You're the one on a roll.
All right. Let's go back to football. Let's go Super Bowl.
Wow. I like how chaotic this episode is. The listeners are having to keep up with what category we're in.
Sure, yeah.
Yep. Super Bowl winners, your two key question is this. What Philadelphia quarterback and Super Bowl champion is one of two players in NFL history with a Super Bowl touchdown as their lone career reception?
Yeah, it was the Philadelphia Miracle or the there was something.
Okay, so Nick Foles.
It was a specially named play. I don't remember what it's called, but it was like a lateral flea flicker, and he went in the end zone.
I think I remember.
Yeah, it's Nick Foles.
Nick Foles is correct, and at least it took a little bit longer than asthma did, but that is correct. And you now have three keys, Joe and Natalie. Where to?
You stick with football and get up to 90s, you think?
Sure.
All right, let's do a three-key football question.
All right, here it is. What team has had 8 different opponents in the Super Bowl, never repeating one, but only won 3 of those games?
So they've been a lot. Oh. They've played different teams.
They went 3-5.
And they only one team repeated?
Is no, that they never had a repeating opponent.
Played each other. Who's lost 5 Super Bowls and won 3? The Broncos have done that. The Broncos have won 3 Super Bowls and lost 5.
Really?
Yes, because Elway went 0-4.
What about not the Seahawks? No, they haven't been.
Elway went 0-4, I think, in the 80s, and then he won 2 back-to-back against the Packers and the Falcons.
And then Peyton.
He lost against...
Oh, Cutler.
Yes, he lost against the Niners, he lost against the Giants, he lost against the Redskins, and he lost against...
So then Cutler lost 1-2?
No, Cutler never made it. Manning lost 1 to the Seahawks.
Okay, and then so he then won one. The
I don't have to name all that. I just have to name the team that did it. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Because the only other teams that have 8 was are the Niners and the Steelers, and their record is much bigger than it's the opposite. They're 5-3, I think. Or the Steelers might be 6-2. Anyway, I think it's the Broncos.
Okay. I'll
Denver Broncos for because of all of that I just spewed out.
Yeah, you spewed out quite a bit, and you got a key for it. The Denver Broncos are 3-5 in the Super Bowl history.
Feel free to edit that as needed.
No, that was fun. That's the kind of talk there we like, and my brother is pissed again for the second time in your episode. Yes, the Denver Broncos, and you have 4 keys now, guys. Would you like to... Well, I guess we'll find out. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I think we go back up to music, right?
Yeah, let's go to country music.
Let's get that music question.
Hopefully not bomb again.
All right. The hypothetically hardest 90s country music question is this. Courtesy of Brandon Fellows, by the way.
Oh, great.
Oh, man.
What group that shares their name with the Laurel and Hardy fan club sang backup vocals on the number one hits I Hope You Dance and It Must Be Love, but only reached as high as number 10 on their own in 1997?
I'm trying to think of bands from the 90s. You know, Lone Star, Little Texas, Shenandoah, Sawyer Brown. I don't think they were still around then.
What would be connected to Laurel and Hardy?
It's something,
the somethings.
They're comedy?
Yeah, they were a comedy duo. One guy was tall and thin, the other guy was short and fat.
Oh,
I think
man.
They did. No, that was Edwin Costello.
That Leon Womack song was so popular, but.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I can hear the voices.
Me too. Oh, man, we're going to bomb it again. Dang. And you know what? It could be like some not country band. It could be like Ben Folds 5 or something.
I have no clue, so I'm stuck on the Laurel and Hardy trying to make that make sense to something.
And I couldn't even begin to make a guess on that.
But they had a hit, and it was only number 10. They didn't have a number 1 hit, but they had a hit. We don't know what that song is.
That would help. I could barely.
We knew that song.
A guess. I'm just gonna guess Shenandoah, even though I don't think that's it. And yeah, that's my guess.
Okay.
Our correct answer is Sons of the Desert.
Never.
Wow.
Never.
That was impossible.
Okay.
I never heard of them.
I think that's the hardest question in this game.
Yeah.
Right there. So that might make you feel better about moving forward. Unfortunately,
I read up here. That's pretty good.
Unfortunately, I do have to take your keys. Now, here's the deal. The next category question that you have is a 2-key question, meaning that you must get at least 2 bonus questions to get back into your game.
Okay.
Where would you like to start in the bonus questions?
Let's try Who in the World.
All right. Who in the World? Here I will give you a real name of a musician in this case. I will tell you something about them and the year they were born and the year they die, which in this case they haven't, so it's the present. So here is your clue. Eileen Regina Edwards, the best-selling female country artist of all time, 1965 to present.
50 years old now, which would have put her in the 90s, about 30 years old. And
Were you going to tell us when they had an album? Or was that a different
one? Not on this one.
Okay.
No, that's the Billboard.
Eileen, I mean, that's a good guess.
Best-selling of all time, still alive.
Oh, best-selling of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, Shania Twain, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I missed that part.
Shania Twain.
Yeah, I missed that part.
I can't wait to hear how you edit that.
Well, I won't, because what happened is Natalie heard Eileen and started thinking and ignored the rest of the clue. Yes.
All right.
Shania Twain is Eileen Regina Edwards. And you have one bonus key. You need another one to be able to get back to Teddy.
We need another bonus.
Next.
Another bonus one?
Yeah, you pick one.
Okay. Let's do... Okay, in order to break the curse of not getting the one on the right, let's do that.
Okay. Stormy Trivia. Hey, I hope you know something about where your son goes to college. Here's your question. What celebrated agricultural scientist in American history, innovator in crop rotation and alternative crops like peanuts and sweet potatoes, is an alumnus of Iowa State University?
Peanuts, sweet potatoes. He's a well-known agricultural...
Don't they have a building?
He's
yes.
got multiple
yes, they
patents.
Have Carver Hall.
Yeah, they might.
Yes, I think it's George Washington Carver.
There you go.
And I think you got your second key
yes.
that you needed to get back to Teddy. And you can go back to your expert categories if you wish, or you could continue in bonus questions if you want. It's up to you.
You want to go to Teddy?
I think we go back to Teddy, yeah. Let's do the two-key Teddy question.
Two-key Teddy question is this. Theodore Roosevelt is the only president to have ever been awarded what highest military award for valor in action?
Oh, he was awarded this posthumously. It was actually done not that long ago. Like, I think it was either, I think it was 2021 maybe, or 2001. His Medal of Honor.
Oh, really?
For the for his work with the Spanish-American War and the Rough Riders.
Oh, wow.
Medal of Honor, posthumously.
Fun fact, his son was also given the Medal of Honor.
Did
Teddy
not.
Roosevelt Jr.
No.
Yes, that is correct. The Medal of Honor.
No.
And you now have three keys.
Yeah, we just watched an episode of Jeopardy, and they asked about his son.
Yeah.
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 There was a trivia question. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Ooh. I say we stick with Teddy.
Sure,
yeah, let's go. Let's keep going with Teddy.
Teddy for three. Here's your question. Teddy Roosevelt drank a gallon of coffee a day and coined the slogan for what coffee company when he said it was good to the last drop?
Yes.
And it's just because I know the slogan.
Yes.
I didn't know that story.
Yes.
Maxwell House.
Yeah, it's correct. That's where they get the slogan from. Teddy Roosevelt drank
wow.
that.
Who knew?
Well, I'm at least validated knowing you didn't know that part of it. It was an easy answer apparently for you, but I may have put in the wrong place. Four keys.
And the bonus, now we've kind of taken the bonus keys out of play, haven't we?
Well, so you'll get to them because you can go to them anyway. It'll be a matter of score at that point, but you do need to pick between Super Bowl winners and Teddy Roosevelt what you think you are most likely to answer correctly.
Yeah, because if we lose it, then we're screwed. We can't. We
not,
have
if you miss
this
next question, you will not get to the other one.
Yeah, we should have done the Stormy Trivia. We should have had four bonus.
Or we should have done a couple more bonus.
Crap. We did not play this smartly.
All right. Well, I mean, he's still going to ask us, so we're going to find out if we got him or not. I would say, I mean, we...
You're doing very
I did great
well.
With... I'm doing great with Roosevelt. Doing pretty good with Super Bowl, but it's taking a little more thought.
Mm-hmm.
So probably stick with Teddy. If I go out,
depends
I want to go
on
out on a Teddy.
Henry Dalton was feeling with
do I want to go out on a Teddy question or a Super Bowl question? That's negative thinking, right?
Teddy.
I think we stick with Teddy. I've been pretty good on that.
Yeah.
Let's go with Teddy.
All right. Your hypothetically hardest Teddy question is this. Theodore Roosevelt provoked an outpouring of condemnation from white politicians and press in the South. When he invited what civil rights leader to dine at the White House in 1901?
Okay,
Booker T. Washington.
Yeah.
I have to ask why you both know that so fast.
I know that because
I make her watch all this documentaries and do stupid stuff like that. We watched it at some point, and he was the first president to put to invite a black man into the White House.
Yes.
And it was he didn't think it was a big deal, but it was at the time.
And well, he never did it again.
No.
After
there was even a little bit of extra backlash for Booker T. Washington because some considered him not a super pro civil rights guy.
Yeah,
he was kind of in the middle.
Some people thought he was
W.E.B. Du Bois would have been a better choice, but politics of the time. So,
Joe and Natalie, the Teddy Roosevelt category is your first sweep of the game.
Yay.
And apparently, now I've learned you just keep watching documentaries and there's not a Teddy question I could have written that you wouldn't have known. So there's that, and now you get to find out what's behind that Super Bowl four key question.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Fingers crossed.
Ready
here it is. Having missed after their first touchdown, gone for two after the next two touchdowns, and walking off with their last touchdown, What team is the only team to win a Super Bowl having scored no extra points?
Okay. I think a key to this is they walked off with their final touchdown, which means they did it in overtime.
Yes.
And that was recently. It was 2 years ago. It was the Kansas City Chiefs went to overtime. There's only two
teams. They missed the kick. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
they threw it to Hardman in the corner for a go-ahead touchdown.
Who was their kicker?
They didn't have to kick it because they scored the touchdown in overtime and it was sudden death. So it
ended. No, but he said they missed. Didn't you say they missed?
He missed his first extra point. Then they went for two in the next two. It's the guy that's been in the news.
The asshat. That guy. Okay.
Harrison Butker?
Yeah, God. Is that his name? Guy, yeah. Okay.
We're big fans of his.
Clearly.
Yeah, so it's got to be the Chiefs because it's a walk-off touchdown. It's the only time it's ever happened.
This sounds familiar to me. Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Kansas City Chiefs.
It is not the only time it's ever happened.
Dang it.
It wasn't that long ago, but does 28-3 mean anything to you?
They won with...
This is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots.
Ah, piss.
They won with a touchdown?
They did, yes.
Thought they won with a field goal.
They tied it at 28, and then in overtime, they won 34-28.
Which is why they went for two so many times, because they were trying to come back.
Yes.
I had the overtime, but I had the wrong damn game.
Dang it. Yep.
The New England Patriots didn't make a single extra point in their Super Bowl victory.
I feel better that you also missed a question.
Man.
Natalie's leaning into the schadenfreude there.
Yeah.
Guys, you're going to get to all your questions. That doesn't happen for everybody, so congratulations. You're going to get to all of them. It's just a matter now of which bonus questions you want first, and we'll find out what your final score is going to be.
Okay. National Blank Day before.
Let's go in
order.
Yeah, National Blank Day.
National Blank Day. As of release, today is National U.S. Bowling League Day.
Very specific.
Yes, and so here is your question. Nine-pin bowling used to be the norm, but it is now illegal in all states, except which state that apparently will never forget nine-pin bowling?
That's a big bowling state.
I think we kind of saw this somewhere. It's East Coast, like it's...
Seriously? I was thinking...
I want to say it's like Vermont.
Sure,
okay. Or something like that.
I was going to say it was...
Spitballing.
I was going to say Wisconsin. Because they're northerners. They don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
They're stuck in the cold.
Okay. Why not? We'll go Wisconsin.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
What if I made you zone in on the part of the clue that said they will never forget? What would that make you think?
New York. That, never forget 9/11.
And also, another state never forgets the Alamo.
Oh, Texas. Oh, of course, Texas. They want to be different.
Texas is the state that you can still apparently legally do nine-pin bowling. But according to what I researched, they actually charge a fee to all the establishments that still want to do it. It was banned for gambling issues at some point by all 50 states, and only Texas is nine-pin bowling illegal. Isn't that stupid? That's so stupid. Which, before and after or billboard buster? What do you want to do to end your game? Let's go to the other one first.
I want to end on before and after. I love before and after.
All right, let's do the billboard buster then.
All right, here's basically a lot of context, and you'll try to guess the artist. Requested artist was country music, so here it is. The clue is their first album was in 1999. Their most recent album was in 2024. 41 songs have made the top 100. The Pika song hit was number 17, a duet in 2011 that spent 20 weeks on the chart.
And that's as high as they got. It was 17.
17 is the highest this artist ever got, but they did have
number one.
Okay, then it's
but
not.
41 songs on the top, on the Billboard charts.
Okay, so.
A lot of hits, but no number ones.
It could be Brad Paisley. I mean, that's 26 years. I can't remember exactly when he came into the picture. Kenny Chesney has had way more than that. I mean, he's had lots of songs, though, but he's definitely had number ones.
He surely has.
Yeah.
41. No number ones. That's tricky, man.
Keith Urban. Let's go with Keith Urban because I'm
right.
Unfortunately, it's not because you did muster the correct answer. You just didn't settle on it. This is Brad Paisley.
Man, Rick. That was your first guess.
Yep, you got to trust your gut in pub trivia.
He does the same thing. He has a ton of hits, and they're never always great.
That duet was Remind Me with Carrie Underwood.
God dang it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that song, it wasn't a movie or anything. It was just a really good song that lingered.
I remember it. Yeah.
So, guys, it's time for Before and After. You know it's my favorite. And this is a pretty sportsy Before and After.
We're so bad.
Look at that. It's a lot of green, babe.
It's a lot of green.
Yeah, we finished the board. That doesn't happen all the time.
Here's a sportsy Before and After to end your game. Your clue is this. A former Phoenix Suns and Los Angeles Lakers player takes his talent to a minor league baseball affiliate of the Brewers in the Music City.
Phoenix Suns. Oh, that's Nash.
Steve Nash, Nashville Tigers.
They always named like something clever after the the Nashville.
For those listening, Joe is casting out his arm into the universe, hoping that the answer is thrown in front of him.
Yeah, Nashville.
The Nashville Notes.
Yeah, that's
Nashville Catfish. Actually, Cape Girardeau, I think, is the catfish.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I know that doesn't help. I have no idea.
Jesus.
Their hockey team's Dang Predators. It. Their football team's the Titans.
Yeah,
I don't know if
the
they
Tennessee
would...
Titans, so they're not even good.
Man, Dalton.
Steve Nash, baseball team.
Steve Nashville.
Nashville.
Nuggets.
Ball boys.
All great opportunities for the future of this team. Yes. But this is Steve Nashville Sounds.
Notes? I was on.
You were actually pretty close, yeah.
You said the notes, and I was like, oh, almost there.
Nashville, yeah. Alliterative. Everybody knows alliterative.
You have been listening to Lockdown Trivia, and you know that 18 points is a very strong score. And thank you for being the guinea pigs for our first ever cooperative Lockdown Trivia episode. You guys were awesome together.
Thank you.
Kind of fun. Yeah.
I am very mad at myself, and this will haunt my dreams.
But I think
not as much as Blue by Leanne Rimes will haunt your dreams.
The stupid tractors. I don't know. I'm mad about that.
I'll be sending you a link to that song on Spotify so you can enjoy it later again for the first time probably in 20 years.
If I can needle her enough, maybe she can get her to do it again. Say, hey, you weren't perfect. Maybe we can be perfect next time. Hey, we like being guinea pigs.
Yeah,
just
go
saying.
Ahead and sign us up for that competitive episode.
We will have to maybe see the Joe and Natalie against each other. That episode will involve a lot more yelling than this current episode did.
Like you might have to bleep some things.
Yes. That one will be explicit. This one was not.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. There you go.
Yes.
All right, guys. Hey, anything coming up? Anything going on you want to shout out before we get out of here?
Go Pack, go. Jordan Love's on his way to his first MVP. It's obvious to everybody by now. So,
And good luck to Jackson and Presley on their next year of school. That's
Thank
what's going
very
on.
Much, sir.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dalton. All right, guys. Super fun.
I hope you guys had as much fun with that as I did recording. Joe and Natalie are two of my favorite people in the world. We love playing trivia together, and they are such good partnership and also such good trivia players. So that was a lot of fun. I do think that the country music category was maybe a little harder than it should have been in terms of playing categories average to other Lockdown Trivia categories. I know Joe and Natalie very well, so in nearly every other aspect of this game, I could balance it how I actually want this game to be balanced. But because I knew that Natalie really knew country music, and because Brandon had that question he wanted to throw in, that ended up being a very hard category, because essentially they had two four key questions, one that I wrote and one that Brandon wrote. And so in retrospect, I'll be more cognizant of that. But they had a great time, and their score was wonderful anyway. So, Joe and Natalie, thank you for being on. I can't wait to have a future episode where you guys play against each other instead of together. I know that's going to be a favorite of a lot of listeners. And in the meantime, guys, sign up for these two-player episodes. They're a blast. Pick a friend you want to play with. You might have a lot in common. You might have nothing in common when we're together. Pick a friend you want to play against. You might have everything in common and see who knows it better. You might have nothing in common and just want to be complete pricks to each other while you play competitive. It's going to be fun no matter what. So sign up for these two-player games. They're a blast. Our bonus question from this episode comes from our Southern cooking category, and it is this. Attempts to trace the dish's origin have not found any recipes dated earlier than an 1886 recipe in the Harper's Bazaar. But what dish with a debatable pronunciation has variations including white or brown sugar, cane syrup, molasses, maple syrup, or honey in its recipe? While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Joe and Natalie for being our guinea pigs in these two-player episodes and invite you to sign up for Lockdown. Click the link in the description of every episode to sign up. As of Season 3's recordings, you're not even going to need a music preference. More on that, but our answer to this bonus question is pecan pie. Or if you're wrong, pecan pie. New episodes every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. In the meantime, I cannot wait to continue to write, continue to learn, and continue to unlock your brains one key at a time.
That song has a very unique story with our own trivia.
Mm-hmm. That one had some baggage. Do you guys... I know how I tell the story. Natalie, would you like to recall that moment?
I don't know the story. I'm still salty about it.
Basically, Natalie spent her entire adult God-given life thinking that was Patsy Cline and not realizing it was a perfect spot on Leanne Rimes sounding like Patsy Cline.
I don't like Leanne Rimes.
And we screamed it out as a correction to trivia to Brandon.
Yeah.
And he was not having it. And we had egg on our face because we swore up and down.
I had to tuck my tail.
We were right. And we were not.
Yeah.
We were not. I was not either.
Brandon knows so much more than I do. It's probably just because he's older than I am.
Let's make sure that stays in the episode.
That's not true. He just knows way more about country music than I do. Dang it.
Remind me to have us all sign up for a 90s country trivia together. We would kill it.
That would be a blast.